The first reading, as Francesca has already led in prayer, is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Do not extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff and with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Colin. Janet's going to speak about that passage. May I just pray for her before she does so? Father, thank you so much for your word and for all that it teaches us, and the way it leads us, encourages us, inspires us, challenges us. And we pray now for Janet. Thank you for the work she's already done on this passage, and we pray that you will speak to each of us through what she has to say. Give her your peace, we ask. Amen.
Thanks, Barbara. Thanks, Colin, for reading. Just to say hello again to Peggy and to Val, who are watching us on Zoom today, and hello to everybody here this morning. This is a part two sermon. So part one was last week, and I preached on John the Baptist, the beginning of Luke 3, and this today is continuing what I talked about last week. So last week I talked about starting and finishing. I talked about that key verse, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." I talked a little bit about Advent, on his first coming, his second coming, and I had 3 points last week: prepare, pray, and promise. How could we prepare for Jesus coming again? How could we pray for the church and those in our care? And the promise to trust him to finish the work started in us. Well, I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to use exactly the same 3 points today, because I looked at this passage and thought, it's about prepare, it's about prayer, it's about the promise, preparing for Jesus' return, praying in every situation, and the promise of the peace of God. We'll start by looking at Luke 3, and you can follow it on your sheets here. And it's all about John the Baptist. He was a prophet, the last in a line of Old Testament prophets. He was out in the wilderness by the Jordan River and he called people, repent, 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 come and be baptized. And he attracted very large crowds. But then he said, beware of just joining in with what the rest of the crowd are doing. Beware, don't just repent and get baptized for the sake of it. Is your actual way of life going to change? And then he comes up with a really shocking phrase, particularly addressed to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 7. John said, you brood of vipers. That's a bit strong, isn't it? You brood of vipers who warned you to flee from the coming wrath. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a bushfire. I've seen a bushfire occasionally in the wilds in Africa. And just before the line of the fire, you see snakes scuttling out of the way as quickly as they can and other animals racing to escape the flames of the bushfire. And that's the image John has in mind. He's saying to the Pharisees, Sadducees, you're like snakes. You just want to get out the way of the judgment coming. So you have a quick, let's do a quick repent and baptize, and then I'm just going to run away. I don't want to live a godly life. John says to them, you've got to produce fruit. You've got to show you have repented by living a fruitful life. Repent, then lead a fruitful life. And he tells them off for saying things like, well, Abraham was my great, 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 great ancestor, so I am all right, I don't need to worry. It's the same way as somebody like me saying, well, I'm going to be saved because my dad was a vicar. This is true, by the way. My grandfather was a vicar. My great-grandfather was a vicar. My great-uncle was a bishop, etc., etc., etc. It doesn't mean we will be saved, that we are all right. You can't rely on your background. Judgment is coming. And that's what that image is of fire coming, of wood being burnt in the fire. Judgment is coming, John says, so prepare, live godly lives. If you've truly repented, your behavior will change, particularly your ethical behavior. He goes on in verses 10 to 13 to give three examples of behaving ethically or properly or rightly. First example is to the poor, the people in the crowd. He says to them, if you've got two shirts, keep one, give one away. If you've got enough food, keep some, give some away. Share. Second example is to the tax collectors. He says, he doesn't say stop your job, interestingly. He says just don't collect any more than you're required to. Be honest. And then the soldiers come and he says, don't extort money. He's saying there's no excuse to rob people just because your pay might be low. So John the Baptist in these verses is giving really practical examples to the question, well, what should we do then? We've repented, we've been baptized. Show it by living a fruitful life. He talks about generosity and kindness. This idea of sharing literally your clothes, sharing your food. What are we doing about being a generous people? There's a food bank basket just in the foyer. You could take that literally. You could be sharing your meals with others. We've got Christmas coming up. We don't know whether we'll be able to socialize or not come this Christmas. But again, just think, how can I share my food with others? And then he talks about this acting justly and uprightly. So even if your job is a tax collector or a soldier, behave ethically. Do what is right. We're called to bear the fruit of good deeds as a consequence of our salvation. We're not saved because of our works. We're saved by faith, and it's a consequence of that faith that our behavior needs to change. It's a call to holiness. So if John the Baptist came in here, I hope he wouldn't call us a brood of vipers, but what do you think he would challenge me on? What do you think he'd challenge you on? What area of your life would he say, you're not being very holy, or you're not producing fruit? That call to holiness. So that's the first point. How can we prepare for his return? How can we live godly, holy lives as a result of our salvation? I want to look now at the epistle from Philippians 4, which is on the previous page. What glorious words, aren't they wonderful? And what a privilege to get to preach on Philippians 4, verse 4. Love it. Rejoice in the Lord always. This was written by somebody in prison. This was written by Paul. He was in prison writing to the church in Philippi. And yet he said, rejoice, even when you're in prison. And then he repeats the word, rejoice, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That word gentleness can be translated patience. Let your patience be seen by all. Could be forbearance. Let your forbearance be seen by all. I also saw the word reasonableness. Let your reasonableness be evident to all. Is your gentleness or patience evident to others? I've always thought it's one of the most underrated fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. People notice when someone shows a gentle spirit. Why? Because the Lord is near. It's a reminder to encourage us. Goes on in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. About anything. That's hard. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We live in anxious times. I think there is a lot of anxiety around. There's a lot of people struggling with their mental health. There's a lot of anxiety around COVID. There's a lot of anxiety about the future. And yet it's easier to read than to do it, isn't it? Don't be anxious about anything, every situation. Pray and give thanks. That's what Paul says. Prayer and petition, but with thanksgiving. In every situation, it is another way of saying you can pray about anything. Nothing is too small to bring before God. Believe me, I pray about really big things, about people coming to know Jesus, and I also pray about really small things like a parking place or something else. We can pray about big things, we can pray about small things. We're called to give thanks, and giving thanks is good. It reminds us of what God has done. It encourages us. It quickens my faith. And when we give thanks, it reorientates our thoughts towards God, Father God, Creator God, God Almighty. But it's hard to give thanks in all circumstances. I had a personal example when somebody sent me a really horrible email and I was in tears over it and I just started thanking God because that was all I could do. I started thanking God that God still loved me, God still knew me, and God was sovereign. And so I was still crying, but it sort of turned to tearful thankfulness. Don't wait until you start feeling thankfulness. Just turn your mind to say, I am going to thank God for this, even if I don't feel like it. I've given the example before of Corrie ten Boom in the World War II when she was locked up in a prison hut with her sister. Her sister Betsy said, we need to give thanks for everything, including the fleas. And Corrie said, no, I can't give thanks for the fleas. We will give thanks for the fleas. And later on, they discovered that because of the fleas in the prison hut, the guards left them alone. Much more, the guards didn't like going in there, and they were able to continue to meet together, to pray together, to worship, to encourage one another. That word, anything, we can pray about anything. Don't be anxious in every situation. Tell God, shout to God, cry to God, and thank him. It talks about presenting our requests to God. All I can say is when I'm praying, when I'm anxious about things, I like in my head have this things I wish to present to God. I hand them over to God. And at night, I'll lie there, all the things going around in my head. God, I hand this over to you. I present to you my worry over this or my concern over this. And I find once I've presented them and sort of handed them over to God, I shut my eyes and sleep. We're called to present our requests to God. So we've thought about preparing for his return by living godly lives. We've thought about keep on praying about anything and everything. And the last PR was promise, trust his promises. And I want to finish with verse 7 of Philippians 4. What a verse. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Last week, the promise was to trust God to complete the work he started in us. And this week, the promise is the peace to guard our hearts and minds. He was in prison, Paul, and he looked at the guards around him, and he used this word guard, I'm sure, peace to protect us, to watch over us, but not just our hearts, but our minds, because that's where a lot of our anxieties are. God is sovereign. I cannot say that enough. God is in control. He is sovereign. And the peace of God, verse 7, follows on from verse 6. Don't be anxious. Pray, give thanks, tell God. And then his peace, which is completely beyond our human understanding, will come down on us. And I'm sure all of us have stories to share when there's like a peace in our hearts that feels supernatural. How can I be so peaceful when things are so difficult? So as I finish, what would John the Baptist be saying to each one of us? What would Jesus be saying to us? We thought about P for prepare. Prepare to live holy lives. If you've repented, if you've been baptized, it should lead to a change in our ethical behavior, the way we live our lives. Secondly, pray. Pray in every single situation. And let your prayer include thankfulness. Don't be anxious. And the final P, promise. The promise of God's peace to hold on to. So let's be quiet. And just before Mark brings us our final hymn, what is God saying to me? What is God saying to you? The Lord is near. Let's just be quiet for a moment and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now for your peace to descend upon each person here. I pray for each one of us as we commit our anxieties and worries to you. May we know the peace of God. Help us today and every day to remember that the Lord is near. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anything I've said that's prompted any thoughts in you, anything you'd like to pray over, ask me or ask somebody else, somebody at the table you're sitting with afterwards. Do you mind praying about this with me? The Philippians passage began, rejoice, rejoice. And guess what the final hymn is? Thank you, Mark. O come, Emmanuel. And the chorus, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, God with us, shall come to you, O Israel. Let's stand up and sing this.